Attention musicians, wouldn't you like to hear your music on vinyl, even if it was just one copy of a vinyl album? Well, you can do that. The fine folks at Austin Signal can help you do that. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. I've had some vinyl cut there, and they do an amazing job. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on How Did I Get Here in their menu, or just follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get to our page, enter the promo code HDIGH for 10% off vinyl cutting. That's right, 10% off. That's promo code HDIGH, like How Did I Get Here. Today's featured vinyl cut from Austin Signal is from Austin artist and How Did I Get Here favorite Charlie Fay and the Fayettes from their latest album, The Whole Shebang. Go to austinsignal.com, gang. Let's get down. Attention, Austin guitarists, are you in need of setup or repair on your axe? Well, I have the guy for you. That's Jason Swedberg over at J. Scott Luthrie. Find him at J. Scott Luthrie on Facebook. Now, gang, I've been taking my guitars to Jason for over 20 years, and not only does he do the best job, but he has the best prices and does the fastest service in town. That's J. Scott Luthrie on Facebook or jason.swedberg@gmail.com. Whether it's acoustic, electric, or bass, Jason Swedberg is your guy. Find him at J. Scott Luthrie. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a great week, whatever it is you did this week. It's getting close to Christmas, man. It's coming up next week. Hopefully you got all your shopping done. Hopefully I've gotten all my shopping done. When this comes out, I'll already be gone to Houston until Christmas Day. I'm going there to see family. I'm going there to play a show with Skyrocket, see family, hang out with my girlfriend Jenna. Go see Star Wars on Sunday. I'm pretty excited about that. We already got the tickets. We got them reserved. We're going to go see this last Star Wars movie, say goodbye to this beautiful intellectual property that has entertained me since I was a child, since 1977, when I went to go see the first Star Wars movie without knowing what I was going to see. I had no idea. I was walking in to see this movie. It was called Star Wars. And when that shit started, it blew my mind, you guys. So I'm going to go have my mind blown one last time by this fantastic franchise. I've been watching The Mandalorian a little bit. I don't have Disney Plus, but my girlfriend does. So whenever I go see her, I catch up on the show. It's good. I don't know if it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Baby Yoda's cute as fuck. Like, I'm not joking. That is a cute-ass thing that they invented. And the show's good. It's a good show. I don't know if it's the greatest show I've ever seen. I don't know if it's the end of the world, but it's good. I do have a very, very, very good suggestion for you guys. Yeah, it's a podcast. It's called Promotion Man Podcast. And Fred Myers, who I guess is in radio now, but was a former promotion guy for Warner Brothers and I think Virgin, he sits down with L.A. Lloyd, legendary radio DJ, who lives here in town, has a syndicated show all over the country. Fantastic dude, too. I know him. But I came across it. Somebody had posted something about it, and I was like, what is this? Because I love inside stuff. This guy worked for Warner Brothers. He went to go work for Warner Brothers. His first day, he was working on the very first Van Halen release, promoting it to radio. So he's got a lot of inside stories, and it's great. It's great. I love the inner workings of this music business. That's part of the reason why I have this podcast. I love to find out how things were done. How did you do this? Well, you get to find out a lot of shit that this guy did. He worked on Tusk. He worked on this Van Halen. I know he worked on more stuff. I've only listened to three episodes, and there's like 20 episodes up. You can find it at promotionman.com. podbean.com. I suggest going there because all 20 episodes are up, and if you go find it on Spotify, it's just 13 to 20. I think you should start at the beginning because the guy explains who he is, how he got in the business. He explains Warner Brothers Records, how it became a record label. This guy, Fred Myers, is fantastic. L.A. Lloyd does a great job of talking to him, and this is a well-produced podcast that's great to listen to. And if you love how the music business works and you want to find out how things worked back in the day, this is the show for you. Promotion Man Podcast. You can find it at promotionman.podbean.com or find it on Spotify at Promotion Man Podcast, or actually even on SoundCloud. SoundCloud has all 20 episodes up too. Anyway, great podcast. Get out there and check it out. Guys, I have a great show for you. Speaking of rock and roll and how things were done, my friends Josh Ross and Mark Sean from the band Black Heart Saints are on the show today. They're back on the show today. You can find them at blackheartsaintsmusic.com. They just dropped a new single. They've been dropping some singles. They dropped a single called Crazy, a single called Lines, and now a couple of weeks ago, they dropped a single of a cover, Addicted to Love, the old Robert Palmer jam. Yeah, you know it. They won Best Metal Band in the Austin Music Awards this year, 2019, and they're premiering a film of all their videos put together. They've been putting out videos. They got a great video for Addicted to Love, Lines, and Crazy. They're going to do a fourth release of a song and put all four of these videos together and show them Sunday, January 12th at the Alamo South Lamar. So go to blackheartsaintsmusic.com, get involved there. If you live in Houston, you can see them Friday, January 10th at Warehouse Live in Houston, and they'll be in Austin playing Cobra Fest or Cobra Cast Fest. I think that's what it is. Please don't get mad at me, Bobby Sharon. My friend Bobby Sharon has a podcast called Cobra Cast, and he's having a festival down the street from here at Come and Take It Live on Saturday, January 25th. They'll be playing there. As I said, go to blackheartsaintsmusic.com. Josh and Mark came by a couple of weeks ago, and they brought with them a gift for me, which was some ATX Vodka, who is sponsoring their band right now. It's pretty cool. And they gave me a bottle of that, but we opened it up and we had some drinks. So this is a little less formal than my normal episodes. How did I get here? I do this show sober. I mean, not because I'm like, oh, I don't drink. But like, you know, we're just having these conversations. I don't have to have a lot of drinks. I got a lot of shit to do. But anyway, Mark and Sean always bring the booze, and we always throw down and have some cocktails and some laughs. And so, we have some cocktails and some laughs and talk about making these videos, covering Addicted to Love, doing this music, playing rock and roll in a time when rock and roll is just really like something that's not in the mainstream all the time. So Mark and Josh, great guys. We have a fantastic conversation. Please enjoy it. These are my friends from Black Heart Saints, Mark Sean and Josh Ross. Let's get down. Black Crowes, the drummer, Steve Gorman, wrote this book, Hard to Handle, The Rise and Fall of the Black Crowes.
Ooh.
He has a lot to say about those guys and drugs. There was one point, sorry, and we'll totally start talking about Black Crowes. I mean, about Black Heart Saints.
There we go.
I have a half a sip of your ATX vodka, and
black is great.
I can't even talk. They were recording their third album, Amorica, and the Steve guy didn't want to do cocaine before a recording take, and Chris Robinson freaked out on him and told him he wasn't rock and roll. He was some bullshit guy.
I agree with Chris. I second that.
I mean, that's a tough one, man, because there's some, you know, there's some crazy
on the law.
Well, it depends on, you know,
it depends on what you're. It does depend on the band, because honestly, like, I look back at that second Oasis album, What's a Story, Morning Glory. I wish everyone wasn't on cocaine when they did it, because it really is terrible sounding. Everybody across the board, like, nobody had it together when they were doing it. And then, but I don't think it would have been as cool. You know
That's
what
right,
I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, off of that stuff and onto you guys are dropping singles. You're not releasing albums anymore. You're just making singles videos and movies.
We're mixing it up, you know. I mean, there's not really nobody knows what the hell they're doing, you know, these days. So we're trying something different. You know, there's this whole like, oh, you should be releasing music on Fridays, and then let's do it this way. And like, we're just flipping all the rules. We're doing it on Sundays, flipping all the rules.
We drop it on Jesus Day because
that's right.
You know,
don't go to church. Come watch a music video instead. You know,
yeah,
that's the plan.
Well, you can watch a music video and then go to church. You got a lot of hours in a day.
Absolutely, you can have it all in your life.
So the latest video for "Addicted to Love." How did you guys obviously you probably didn't have to twist Scott's arm, but
how'd it come about?
How did you get him to
put on those tight pants? I have no idea.
Well, just like us, Scott has a major drug habit, so
we just
piled him up with all the goodies, and
it was like
natural. And got him dancing,
got him to twiddle his mustache.
He's a good dancer, actually.
He is. We're surprised.
He can shake.
He has that personality that we just recognized from knowing him in the scene, and we thought
perfect
he was.
Yeah,
there's a Galifianakis
thing
that I don't think I ever picked up on from him.
Yeah,
until I watched that video, I was like, oh yeah, he's just real weird.
He's a funny guy.
It's the level of commitment and seriousness that he's being that weird. That is the Galifianakis-ness of the whole thing.
That's true. Yeah,
utter commitment to the.
I've never seen a guy dance so well in my life.
Oh yeah,
snake skin.
He was definitely the star of that video in particular.
So. Yeah. So you guys know I'm close to my Uncle Jack. We're more like brothers than uncle and nephew. He's 4 years older than me. Huge fan, and he wanted to know. It's a question from Uncle Jack. Whose idea was it to do "Addicted to Love" and then also do it because you guys changed it.
We did. We changed a little bit.
We changed it. We actually, for all the music nerds out there, we changed the key of the song, too.
Okay. Yeah.
We took it from A to G. So we put it
Why do you like G?
We like G because we're OGs.
Was it G because you could jump up to a different thing and give it a new level of excitement? Because he never really gets into that. He doesn't go into a second guy.
True, yeah.
He doesn't take it into, you know, fourth gear.
No, I mean, I guess we just naturally put it together. I mean, whatever sounded right kind of came out, and, you know, rock and roll just is rock and roll. Don't overthink it. Just do it, you know?
Yeah.
Play it and rock it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just a natural place for me to be. I mean, I don't think I had a second guess, you know, what kind of note I was going to be at.
I think we tried to play it in the original key, maybe, but it just didn't.
There's no attitude.
It didn't jive as yeah. It didn't have as much of a, you know,
a grit.
Yeah,
the dirtiness.
So dropping it kind
made
of
it sexy
helped that. You know, we've done this thing where we've covered songs that are unconventional for what you would think we'd cover. You know, we've done "Superstition,"
right.
We've done "Come Together" by the Beatles. Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna lie. "Come Together" is not a huge stretch. Like it's there's not, that Aerosmith right, yeah. version out Absolutely. There and stuff.
That's so, true. Yeah. That's not that.
Same with "Superstition."
Yeah,
it's very common.
You're right. I think
no, it's not very common. But I could see like it down.
You can see the riff there. Yeah,
yeah. I could totally see you guys doing that.
Yeah. We're not the only ones who have covered it. I think with "Addicted to Love," I don't really know many people who have
covered because it's so iconic in its own that it's interesting. Like how I don't know how I would approach it to change it, and you guys did make it your own, which I thought was pretty badass.
Sweet, thank you.
Yeah.
Omar Vallejo, got to give him a shout out for that. He really helped us put the song together
you know, so juices all over it.
Yeah.
Well, you gave it. Oh, also, okay. So, what's the video? Was it "Crazy" that he's in?
Yes. Yeah. Did you see that one too?
That's the great one.
I like him as a weird character
he's
actor.
Good,
I didn't
man.
Realize
he's
that he's such a. Well, I watch his show, and he was doing this thing at one point with like a mustache and like a sombrero and being a wacky dude. But that was like over the. This was really good. This was like almost like the Tom Cruise thing in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Like the asshole producer guy.
He reminds me of that guy from Wedding Singer, you know?
He's like the Mexican Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Well, you didn't have to twist his arm to make him the madman in that video, I'm sure.
Oh, no. Yeah,
so what's the deal? You guys are making four videos. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yes,
and then
that's
you're going
right.
to put them all as a movie?
That's right. So the fourth one is Slate. Well, so we're going to be making an announcement very soon. I guess we can
for what?
We can tell everybody when the premiere will be, right?
Oh, yeah. I
mean, so January 12th will be the premiere at Alamo Draft House, South Lamar.
Sunday, January
12th. Sunday. It's a Sunday, you know. It's
early, too. It's early. Early day, so it's like a brunch.
Last day of free week.
Brunch, lunch. A lunch or brunch.
And people will be able to go to your website. I want to go to that.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. We'd love to have you. So, yeah, it's going to be sponsored by ATX Vodka, School Rock, Birds Barbershop.
And those Birds.
Birds Barbershop? You guys birds it out? I do, too. I'm a Birds guy.
I mean, I haven't been there in a couple of years, but, you know.
But you got to keep it trim, man. They got to take out the frizzies.
Hook them up with some of them birds.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, some of those birdies.
How do you guys get these sponsors?
Well, we sell our bodies.
Yeah, we find out the weaknesses.
I'm not very expensive at all.
Sell your body or find weaknesses of the owners and exploit them.
Yeah. So Sunday, January 12th, are you going to edit the four videos to go together?
Yeah. So our main guy we work with is Taylor Fredericks from Static Heart Productions. He's done all of our music videos. So
we're going to.
Yeah, and so the last one is going to be debuting at the same time as all the other ones. So it's going to be, you know, thrown together. The four will be
one will be like the debuted at the premiere.
Exactly. Yeah.
So and then we'll have it all together. So it'll be a short film.
That's cool.
They have some great.
You excited
food
about
too.
It?
I think so. Yeah.
Did you have this good. Plan when you started doing this? Or did he?
A small concept was kind of put together.
Yeah. A lot of it was developed along the way, but we had an idea and. We thought it was very ambitious, and it's kind of crazy.
You know? Which Alamo are you doing it at?
South Lamar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably the prime location one, you know, really, if you think about it. Easily accessible for most people in town.
Yeah, you know what? I've been rocking that Mueller one lately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. I like the non-gender bathrooms there. So you could.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You can go in there. Your mom can go in there with you. You can do the other thing or something. Yeah, you can, like, have your whole family in there.
The whole family can
use a bathroom together, you know?
I'm going to go there and bring my whole family
That's how it is. It's a family restroom. It's crazy.
I'm gonna have
you know what I'm talking about? It's like the stalls are just...
They're just little rooms. You have a little place to yourself.
Yeah, you can wash your hands. Nice. Yeah, it's just... It's the future, I guess.
They have locks on those doors.
If you do coke at movies, it's like the perfect bathrooms for that.
He's right.
They're like private locked rooms.
He's right. None of us have ever done drugs in a movie theater, though.
Never.
I don't think I ever have.
Or a venue, or a backseat of a car.
Or a venue. Okay, so man, since last time you guys were on, you have achieved some goals, what do you think? You've earned some, you were best heavy metal band in the Austin Music Awards. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. I mean, I don't know if they really live up to that, but we'll take it, I guess.
Yeah.
We got some wood this year. That was good.
Yeah. I got some wood this year.
I think Bob Schneider might win next year for best heavy metal band.
Well, did you read the thing about the thing? Oh, yeah, I saw you wrote it.
I did.
You know, you shouldn't have posted your thing. That whole thing is about not doing that.
Well, we're breaking the rules.
Shame on us.
We're breaking
that's shame on us. We like to break
this. When I read it, I was like, wait a minute. They're doing this so that no one goes like, hey, look at this.
Beautiful.
Well, they've changed the rules. So
they have changed the rules.
And we break rules.
Yeah, we decided to break the rules.
I'm about to break something in this house, right?
Hey, man.
No, just kidding.
Not my...
You guys didn't even acknowledge my award. Excited, man.
I got a Best of Austin.
You did. Look at that right there on your face.
It's literally... I got to be honest, man. I love the Austin Chronicle and the fact that I got the critics thing. That was very flattering and very amazing.
Absolutely.
And the things that they said were very nice, but that is the ugliest fucking award. There's a guy with a baby on a thing in a Hawaiian shirt, a lady going to yoga. Like, that's my award?
Is that what represents Austin?
I guess it is.
You know, it really does. It has that boat sign. It's like, hey, we're all weird. Anyway, so congratulations on that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. What does that do for a band in 2019? That helps you, like, getting gigs outside of town, right?
Well, it just instantly makes you a millionaire and instantly puts a lot of money and chicks in your pocket.
Where are you living at? Because Miles...
Yeah. My life has changed just so dramatically. I'm living in...
Well, then all the paychecks are going to your house because they didn't make it to mine. That's a shame. I'm poor, baby.
Tell Kevin Curtin.
No, just
about
kidding.
That.
Oh yeah, that's a Chronicle guy.
That is, yeah, he's a cool guy.
I don't know if I know him.
You've seen him around. I'm sure you have.
Describe him for me.
He's a cool dude.
What does he wear?
He's a big stoner guy. So,
oh yeah,
yeah.
They always have those guys like that. They had this guy, Chris Gray.
Chris Gray.
Yeah. Stoner guy.
You know Chris Black, too? And Chris White? Who's that?
I know Chris White, the bass player?
Yeah. So
Billy White's
brother? Chris Gray is kind of in between Chris Black and Chris White.
Guys are weird.
Yeah, we are totally weird.
No,
how much do you guys play out of town? I mean, I noticed that you're playing like on Friday the 13th, Einstein's Pub in Katy, Saturday the 14th, Panorama Music House, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
What?
Warehouse Live, Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. You guys travel a lot on the weekends and do that sort of thing?
We do. We like to play outside of Austin a lot. I know a lot of bands, traditionally it seems in Austin, there's this, you know, people playing all the time, multiple times a week, that sort of thing. Mm. We like to expand what we're doing, you know, get outside of the scene.
Yeah, and, get off your chest.
You know, it's a different, Austin's a lot different than Houston. I mean, you play Houston a lot as well, so you realize that, I'm sure.
Well, the thing is, too, is like there is a weird expectation. There's like, you know, those people that are like, oh, we have to have that minimum wage, and like, because I just want to play in Austin and make a certain amount of, but it's like, in what world do the people like play one fucking city?
Yeah,
unless
exactly.
It's Branson or something, or Vegas, and you have your show or something, but why?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you leave? Like, why would you stay here? How? In what world do you think people would come and pay tons of money to you to see you play three nights a week in the same fucking place?
Exactly.
Or four nights a week, or five nights a week.
There's a lot of bands that are spinning their wheels, honestly, and I would tell everybody out there, like, if you're trying to do something like an original band, and you're trying to get to the next level, well, if you're playing out all the time, how do you become, you know, a commodity? How do you increase your value, you know, if you're playing for free or whatever it is?
Well, the other thing too is also winning like an Austin Music Award like that is the currency outside of Austin. Mm-hmm. It's like the value goes up, like that your dollar is worth a lot more.
Absolutely.
Like in Houston or San Antonio, oh, this is the best, you know, the best metal band in Austin. And Austin is like a music town. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that does help. You guys do well in Katy?
We do.
What's going on there?
Okay. Well,
we do too well in Katy.
You know it's from Katy? Jerry Cantrell.
No shit.
Yeah, he's a Katy guy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I wonder if he ever returns there.
He does. His dad, I mean, I don't know if his dad's still alive, but I met his dad like almost like a little over 20 years ago.
Wow, yeah. What's some of your favorite stories about Katy?
Let's talk about some nightmares in Katy.
Every time we go to Katy, something
got to happen.
Yeah.
The last one, some chick flipped her car like 10 times. Yeah, that's what we said.
I know.
What do you mean, going to your gig?
Leaving the gig. So she had too much fun, I think.
And then before that, people just getting hurt. People.
What's that place? Is it pretty tough? I imagine you guys must play some tough places, because at this point, like hard rock is marginalized to like the rockers.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's not like a cool like hipster peace and love situation. It's like,
I like
you guys play
biker up,
just like things.
Us.
We do. We all the rowdiest people, you know, and that's the thing with Austin versus Houston area, you know, in San Antonio, there's a bigger rock crowd in those cities.
Yeah,
and they just beer drinkers. They're, you know,
rowdy.
Do you guys do like the Midwest and shit?
We do. We just played the Midwest in July. We're going to go back there actually in April.
I mean,
I mean, we played my hometown as well, but.
What's your hometown?
Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I love Fort Wayne, Indiana.
You've been there?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. God, what is the name of the place? I spent 5 days there.
Were you there in 1988?
No.
Okay, not 9 months before I was born. No. But okay, just checking.
No. I didn't go to Fort Wayne
you
until
know
like
your dad
2000.
Because Johnny might be.
Yeah.
We're both
is that what you asked?
Can I call Uncle Jack Jack as well?
That's right, yeah.
He'd become my uncle.
I mean, you'd make it a Sally.
That would make Uncle Jack's
was.
Life.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Man? I think in 2020, I need to put together a party for Uncle Jack and have like you guys and Scorpion Child and all of his like Austin heroes.
That'd be great.
Play. Uh-huh. You know what's so sad? I don't think he would want me on the bill.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's part of the deal, Jack. Sorry. You know.
Yeah, okay. That's how it works. Okay, so hold on. Let's go. You guys play some serious... There's... Okay, you guys play rock and roll. You must play some serious
some serious venues, some serious festivals.
Yeah. Have you guys gotten into the Rocklahoma? Is that still going on?
That's still going on. We haven't been up there just yet, but
you guys play up there in Oklahoma?
You know, we've been through Oklahoma a couple times. I don't think we played it.
We drove through Oklahoma.
We played Sturgis. We're trying to go up there next year as well. So perfect fit for that.
Yeah.
You know,
all the bike rallies.
All those bikers.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah, Nate loves it too.
Oh yeah, Nate. Last time he was in Sturgis, there was a chick who wanted to see where he could put a drumstick. I mean, I'm not even lying. There's all kinds of crazy shit that goes on over there.
Yeah.
He's a sex addict in the band. So smell
he
his
got
fingers.
A, he got a he serious can, problem.
He got a serious problem.
Yeah, he got sticky fingers.
There's got to be that kind of person in a band.
Oh yeah, he got it.
Yeah, he'll take one for the team too.
There you go.
If there's somebody best you know that you don't want to go home with, he'll be your.
He got it.
Do you, Josh? Do you have a special lady?
I don't know. No. I don't know. I try.
Hey, ladies.
Hey, ladies.
I'm young and single, and I loves to mingle.
Info at blackcarsaintsmusic.com. Apply now.
Send your headshots and your resume. Let me see. Let me check it out.
What? You guys have opened for a lot of big bands as well.
We've opened our legs and our hearts.
We're some open guys.
Yeah.
Trying to have a fucking serious conversation here. And you guys are like fucking with my David Frick side.
Sorry, man.
First you get me drunk and I'm laughing.
That's perfect.
It takes like half a drink, seriously, at this point.
Oh, me too. I'm already buzzing so hard.
Yeah.
Shut up. What is that weird drink you're drinking?
This is just some energy. Just keep me balanced. Keep me alert.
It's all black. Like, even the top of it is. Like, the top
just
isn't
like my
even
soul.
Silver.
But it's peach flavored, ironically.
Yeah, because I'm sweet somewhere. There's a sweet side somewhere on the darkness of me.
He's kind of like a Sour Patch Kid.
Yeah. You
know, like, a Sour Patch Kid.
First sour, and
then
it's
sweet. Yeah.
You got to lick them first. Get the
that's
sour
That's
kind of
true,
off,
though.
Man.
That is true. Because Yeah.
Did I ask you guys this last time you were on? Did you guys ever see that that documentary about Twisted Sister? This is fucking Twisted Sister.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Isn't it great?
It was awesome.
That was
awesome. Those guys put in their fucking time.
Dude, They didn't mess around.
Do you guys, when you watch that, because I identified with the, we're just trying to like conquer these things and having your calendar full and having, you know, doing that, like just that sort of day-to-day blue collar, lower mid-level musician guy life. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Before you start selling records, when you're selling shit out of your van and fucking selling shit out of your shows and sleeping a bunch of dudes in a room. And
sleeping with dudes or sleeping with dudes?
No. The dudes in the band all have to share rooms and stuff.
Because we've been asked that once when we showed up to a hotel. How many guys
we did
in our hotel?
And where was it? The Woodlands. He asked us, we were checking in a hotel. He's like, how many people are staying? Okay, well, four. And four. How many guys or how many women are there? Something like that. And I was kind of caught off guard. Really, sir? And You only get to the point. We're in a band. Okay, there's not some weird shit going on. I just had to come out and tell him that.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a cultural thing. But
What I was going to say is, do you guys identify with that? Is that something you're in the process? I know you're making singles, you're getting stuff out there. You're probably, I mean, do you guys try and get on labels and stuff, or do you?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're trying. It's also got to be the right fit. And I think we're in a decade that doesn't necessarily need labels, so to say. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
to a certain extent,
we've been in talks with a couple different entities and people. It's got to be the right sort of fit. They have to work harder than we do, you know,
and
we're inspired by some bands that we've played with. There was a band called Dirty Honey, who's this retro rock Led Zeppelin sort of sounding band, and they were number one on the Billboard charts. No record label, first rock band to do that without a label. So it's pretty impressive. So we're kind of this is the new music industry. We're kind of forging our own way and trial and error. So,
yeah.
It's kind of the Wild West. I mean, you're kind of like inventing it as you go. And like, if you find something that works, it doesn't even necessarily mean that 6 months from now, who knows if TikTok's going to be gone.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I'm glad you know what TikTok is. A lot of people don't even know what
it is. It took me a little while. I found out doing a podcast with a lady that's like this super, it was public podcast. It was terrible. It was a live interview thing and I didn't know what she was talking about and she made fun of me. And so She asked me how old I was.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, 50. She's like, yeah, I got it. Yeah, you don't know what it is. Anyway, that's why I didn't know what Old Town Road was.
Oh, yeah.
At that point.
Yeah. Just learned about that myself a few weeks ago, actually. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So at least you're younger than me, but like in your mind, very old.
And that, well, that took off just over TikTok. So that song.
Don't you guys feel like with the marginalization, like I have a couple of drinks and all of a sudden I pretend I'm like doing an actual like rock line radio interview.
Well, hey, you are. Maybe you are.
Yeah, I feel like we are. This is serious, man. I'm trying to take this serious now. Come on.
I'm doing real like journalist questions. Don't you guys, but seriously, don't you guys feel like, okay, so there has been like, I don't know what music is popular now. I don't know. It we're going into a phase right now where it seems like popular music is dictated by people that hate music because it's very terrible. And there's not a lot of, like Baby Shark. Did you get that memo?
Yeah, I did.
That's rough.
Yeah. Everybody wants to be a content curator. Everybody wants to be somebody.
But the music is kind of reflecting that. There isn't like magic in, am I old?
You know, I mean, I'll give my opinion, I guess, on this. I think the barrier of entry has been lowered, which what I mean by that is it's so easy to make music or consider yourself a musician, and because of the home recording revolution. So anybody can put out anything, and you know, with the millennial work ethic as it is, that's where we are today. You know, you can play on a computer, and there you go, there's a beat. So I think that's kind of contributes to that.
But that happened before.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think, like, in the time of Howard Jones, you know what I mean? Like, remember when all of a sudden Guns N' Roses, you don't remember because you were born at that time, but Guns N' Roses came out, and all of a sudden it was like this thing was like, oh, good, so Never Gonna Give You Up isn't gonna be a thing anymore.
Yeah.
So we don't have to live in that thing anymore. And you spin me right around. It's like the mainstream kind of like closes off to like a band kicking ass. A Black Crowes, perfect example. You know, like at that time too. Like all of a sudden, here's this band that like does not belong here now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Dude, even from here, like in that mid 80s, like when Howard Jones was in the charts, so were the Fabulous Thunderbirds. Which is really weird.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So, I mean, do you guys feel like there might be another mainstream rock resurgence? Or do you think that now that we live these compartmentalized sort of like entertainment, or not even entertainment, I should say content world, where you really like, if you're like my Uncle Jack, he wants to hear bands that he likes rock and roll, that has this sort of spirit that kind of isn't being made or shown as much in the mainstream. But now Uncle Jack can live in a world where he's listening to Black Heart Saints all the time, Scorpion Child, other guys doing, you know, great rock and roll still at this time.
Sure.
Do you guys feel like there might be another resurgence, or do you feel like this now we live in this compartmentalized world that even like whatever it is that I do, whatever it is that country people do, that's more organic and Americana than sort of like modern country?
I think there is a resurgence because we've played with a lot of bands that are being, you know, critically acclaimed as the next, you know, stage in rock and roll. However, I think that culturally, I don't think it's going to have as much of an impact as it did, let's say, you know, the Summer of Love or something like
that. Right, because our channels, we have way too many channels to like, and once again, absolutely, you can just immerse yourself in the things you like. You don't have to be exposed to new things anymore.
That's exactly it. You got Netflix, you have all Disney Plus, you have right. all this bullshit that takes up, you only have so many hours in the day, so how are you going to discover the next new rock band, you know? So I think rock fans are there. It's just, you know, you got all this garbage music that's taking precedent and hold. You know, Kanye West, I just heard he said he's the greatest thing ever, and now he's in God's army and stuff. All this crazy. Have you heard
that? Well, he was in Trump's army last year. You know what I mean?
Now he's with Joel Osteen, and he's a big Christian guy. Yeah, he just was in Houston with Joel Osteen.
I mean, I have a lot of feelings about him, too many to really get into today. Well, here's the thing. Like, I do think he's probably one of the most forward-thinking and moving artists of our time, or was at one point over the last 20 years. And there's people that argue with me all the time, and I always use the example of, like, McCartney spent a week in the studio with that guy and recorded, like, 3 songs. He didn't have to do that for a whole week if the guy wasn't, like, worth it when the shit was going down.
Yeah.
And I say also, go listen to Black Skinhead on headphones and tell me that's not, like, one of the most punk rock fucking records you've ever heard.
Right.
Anyway, so, but he's also a fucking idiot. You know what I mean?
Those Kardashian women, that Kardashian pussy turns you crazy.
That whole thing. He was crazy before that.
Yeah.
Well, look at Bruce Jenner. I mean, it's a symptom. You know, you get near
that. That is true.
You start doing things, you might cut your dick off. You know, you never know. You do all kinds of shit. Stay clear of that Kardashian pussy. That's you avoid it.
Yeah.
No one talks about Robert Kardashian anymore. You know, he was one of OJ's lawyers. He was the original OJ lawyer.
There you go. Where is he now, huh?
He's dead.
Yeah. Exactly.
I wonder how that happened.
Stay clear, Johnny.
Stay clear. Well, don't worry. I don't like Kardashians. That culture of, what's it called? Tastemakers, but what's it also called? There's a new word for it.
Well, they don't like you either. You're a little on the light side.
Well, no, just the whole, like, like the tastemaker culture, like people become famous because they post Instagram photos.
Like influencers?
Influencers, that's the word. That's it. I hate influencers.
Yeah.
No offense.
Take it over.
They're probably not going to help me with my podcast. You guys seen that guy? There's a guy that's kind of like influencey. But I think he's a positive influencer. There's a guy that wears a white shirt on Instagram and he tells you what's happening in Austin that night. I don't know his name.
Is it Colin from...
It's a guy with a beard. He wears a white button-down shirt.
Does he do the reports?
And he's standing in front of a thing.
Daily Music Reports. Colin, he actually did a cool little review of the album that we did.
Oh, really?
As well. But I was going to say, getting back to that, I think you're an influencer in some ways. So you're kind
of... You know what's funny?
To do bad things.
I was drunk at Thanksgiving and I told a couple of my cousins, I just was like, hey, I'm an influencer now. I guess that's all you have, right? That's all you have to do.
That's
Anybody could be somebody.
I don't think you could be in your 50s and do it. I think you have to definitely
be
like...
surprised.
Yeah. It's all
age. Miss De Facto could influence.
Yeah, she definitely does. You know, she influences. She got a lot of creepy guys in her inbox. Influence of me. Yeah, that's true. So I'm one of those creepy guys that she influences. So
perfect.
All right. So 2020 is coming up. It's a new year for Black Heart Saints. You're going to debut your short film at the Alamo Drafthouse South Lamar.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome.
You're going to be there? You're right?
I think so.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's a Sunday.
Yes, it's a Sunday. Yeah, bring it.
Yeah. What time?
11?
I don't have time for that. No. Yeah. Just joking.
After church?
Perfect.
Can they serve booze before 12?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, as long as you... I think in Texas...
I think it's like 12 to 1.
As long as you're watching a movie.
As long as you order with a meal.
Okay.
Yeah, before 12, I think. I'm pretty sure there's some weird law in Texas on Sundays. Sure before 12, you have to order any booze with a meal or food.
Yeah.
So, why is that, dude?
I don't know. Is the show on January 25th, Saturday, January 25th, at Come and Take It Live in Austin, is that Cobra Cast Festival?
Cobra January. Cast Podcast. And, Birthday Slumbery Bash.
Birthday
Slamboree. We slamming in.
He has a lot of bands on there. It's like Dangerous Toys.
Vallejo. Texas KGB.
Ooh. TKBJB.
That's right.
Are they changing their name?
They are. In a couple days, we'll find out.
Do you know what it is?
They
tell you. No one told me anything.
Can't say it. I can't say it.
Don't
I can't say it. We'll all know on December 7th.
It'll be out after the podcast. This will be out after that.
Oh, will it?
Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I almost got him, too, didn't I?
Oh, you did.
What else is going on, man?
Well,
you have new recording, new music?
Working on some new stuff. We have something very some exciting things happening in April. Going on tour in April.
What? With who?
Well, we're going to be doing a BHS headline tour in April.
Blackheart Saints.
Yes, yeah. To the Midwest. We were there in July, so we're going to come back and play a couple cool cities like Nashville. You know, we got to play there in July. We had a great time there. But working on new music, going to be recording in April as well. So April's going to be a very busy month. Right? Anything to add to that?
No, you nailed it,
bro. You played this thing I couldn't do because I was sick.
Yes, I did.
How was that? Road to Austin.
Yeah, it was cool, man.
One Road to Austin.
It was great. School of Rock kids are, man, so good. Really, really good.
What's the deal with School of Rock? They, like, sponsor...
They're starting to sponsor our concerts.
Cobra Cast, they sponsor you,
Doing, yeah, they're doing the premiere. They're sponsoring that.
What's going on with that? You're having little kids?
Yeah, no. No, I'm having zero kids.
No, but you're having little kids sponsor your thing? No, it's a company.
It's a company, yeah. So it's like a school, man. A school for all the kids, baby. Bring them over there. Let them teach them sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
How was it?
Teach the kids sex.
Let's. I'm going to have to edit that out. Can't have teaching kids sex on a podcast.
You said sex, drugs, rock and roll. So if you leave out the drugs, rock and roll, then it's not cool.
Look, guys, don't get mad at me. I don't dictate society's rules.
No,
okay?
You do what you got to do.
I'm just a guy walking around. I just don't want to get yelled at on Twitter. Let me ask you, what song did you sing at this thing? One Road Austin.
Cashmere, Led Zeppelin.
Oh, no
shit. It was great, man. Yeah.
Oh, you still doing that Led Zeppelin thing?
We're still doing it, man. But,
are you doing it?
No, this is a Josh project.
Just Josh.
It's Josh solo.
Where do you guys play? Skyrocket stopped doing theirs.
So we are doing, we actually play Houston on Friday and then Lafayette on Saturday. So we're doing Rockefellers.
Oh, nice.
Houston. We've been to Corpus, you know, so we're just kind of getting out there. We're doing one-to-one for New Year's Eve. So
that's good.
We're a little bit everywhere,
it's nice,
man.
On the bread scene, too.
It's good, man. It's good.
Okay. How long is the show?
2 hours.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, it's rocking.
Is that hard on your voice?
It's it can be, for sure, absolutely. Like I said, man, there's just that range is just pretty comfortable for me to be in.
Yeah.
You know, my dad's an old rocker, so just naturally in the blood, I guess, man.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't trained or anything. I didn't have any lessons or anything like that, so just watch, listen, you know, and just kind of sang.
Richards wasn't trained either. Neither was Robert Plant.
So
we're all just dudes that kind of cut our own. Did you get trained? Did you go to college for rock?
I went to Juilliard
did you
School
learn sex, drugs,
music
rock and roll?
For 8 years. I have a doctorate in musicology.
Now, I don't want to make fun of anyone that reads music or does that stuff.
No,
but
no. I'm a bullshitter. I just pretend that I play good enough.
I think that's kind of the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Since the dawn of this rock and roll thing. It's like some jive ass dude.
Acting like we're cooler than we are.
Yeah, it's just smoke and mirrors, you know.
Smoke and mirrors, man. That's a good one.
That's how it works.
It's like weed and coke, man.
Yeah.
Which
you got right here in front of us. That's sponsored by.
Josh, earlier this year, your dad passed away.
Yes, sir.
Right. Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You doing all right?
I'm doing good, man. I mean, good days, bad days.
He was very proud of you, wasn't he?
I mean, I think he, there was, towards the end of the days, yeah, I think he kind of showed that, but over the most of my life, no. You know, he was your biggest critic, you know, which, you know, he had the right to do so. I mean, he was a hell of a guy.
Yeah. You know, I have that kind of vision of things like this whole, like, anti-bullying thing and, like, kindness and stuff like that. I played this kindness thing. I didn't know what I'd signed up for. But when I went there, I was kind of like, I mean, I get it. Look, I'm kind to people. But I don't think people like us end up kicking ass. Like, this is horrible. But like the Bee Gees, like their dad, like kicked their ass. And they were like 7-year-old people, like making the money for their family. Michael Jackson's dad. Yeah. Those people perform on another fucking level.
I agree. Like, for sure.
Yeah, there's something about like Kurt Cobain.
Dysfunction.
You know what I mean?
Helps,
yeah, there's something
growth.
About like if everyone's just telling you you're great and patting you on the back all the time, what are you going to strive for?
Yeah, what do you learn out of that?
Do you think that's what's happening with the music release? But there's people like Billie Eilish. She's really great. Do you like her?
But I think it's that whole pushing back against what everyone's trying to say is okay right now. You know, that whole attitude, right, aspect to it. I think people are just upset with, you know, everything. You know, you being able to complain and bitch about something, then you get your way. You know, it's that immature kind of
entitlement.
Yeah, you know, that kid throwing a fit. You know, so we all throw fits, then what? We just get what we want. And I think that's kind of what's happening. It's like we're trying. I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, are they trying to make us dumb? Like, you know, by putting out a certain type of brand, seeing how much will we are we able to be controlled? Does that make sense? Like with the 10-year difference on Facebook, you know, how you know, are we all in this like game of society trying to control us, to wind us down?
Yeah, so it's always been like that.
By producing. Well, let's see, what will they buy? What will they accept? What will they do?
Right. That's why my earlier question about, like, is rock and roll going to resurge? Because it comes up when, you know, after like 8 years of Reagan and Bush, then you get like,
this
underground comes up, and it's like, you know what? It's not about computer stuff. Not that I'm not trying to be against computer stuff or drum machines or anything. Like, sometimes it's about a small number of people getting together and freaking the fuck out.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And taking that to people, and they come in and they commune with you and freak out with you.
Yeah.
And their week is made. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, they get their charge.
We're all trying to control this anger inside of us. You know, we're all trying to control ourselves and wake up every day and be okay with waking up. So I think we're all dealing with bullshit, and we're trying to just deal with life, and we hold that. And I think that's what music allows us to do, is to let go of that, you know? So when that person comes to the show, if we're not fully invested into our show, then, you know, we screw our fans over, because that's what they're paying for. They're paying to come and see that and to be able to feel what we're holding on to and releasing that and being okay with doing the same.
They need to do the same.
In that moment. Yeah. You know, that's why we're here. That's why we're together. We're here to kick some things over, break some things, just scream, kind of let that out,
yeah.
That emotion.
Yeah.
I think that's what music's supposed to be about.
I think that's why rock bands on tour go crazy, because you should probably only need that like once a week or once a month or something, but we're out doing it every night for people that are getting it once a month. You start getting in that head where you're fucking nuts.
Sure.
That's great, isn't it?
We are, absolutely.
We're just chasing highs.
We get to be, we get to be our natural selves.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a van?
We do.
How's that?
It's going well, yeah. It's actually in the music videos.
The white van.
The white van,
okay, yeah.
It has its own stories.
Its own fan base on Facebook page.
You guys have fun in the van? Do you guys all listen to music together? Do people listen to their own shit on their phones, or what's going on?
Oh, man. Yeah.
We have fun in the van.
We have a lot of fun in the van.
What are you asking here?
Yeah.
Right? No, I mean, like, you're driving, you guys.
Is it parked or is it driving? It depends on what kind of...
driving down the road. You guys laughing, telling stories?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of times where we're connecting, we're bonding, and we're learning about each other. And, you know, Black Heart Saints is going through members and stuff like that. So we've seen growth and having to step back and pick ourselves up. We've been through all that. So
You going through some members?
Oh, since the very, very beginning. Oh, yeah. So it's just like over time, we've, you know, so it kind of, there's a lot of stories to tell. There's a lot of getting to know each other, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know those late night van rides?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like it's just two dudes awake. One guy starts telling another dude a really weird story. The other two dudes in the back are like, what the fuck?
I mean, boredom can really take a hold. Our first bass player had these long dreadlocks, and he would always pass out in the back because mm-hmm. That was when he was drinking a lot. The drummer one time, he was just bored, and he took one of his dreadlocks and he stuck it right up his asshole. And it was the funniest thing. I have it on video somewhere. And that's the kind of shit
happens.
Can we
say those things?
There's like, right now? Yeah. Okay. There's just, it's just funny because
there's a lot of stories.
Yeah.
There's like just like, you guys are like just like whatever. You just let it all hang out. Like you're not, there's no pretense with you guys. And I, as weird as I think it is that your drummer stuck a dreadlock up your bassist's butt, I find it I find it amazing that you guys are just like, oh yeah, that happened in the van.
Yeah.
I'd be traumatized, man.
Well, that's well, we're desensitized, I guess.
Once again, we were raised in dysfunctional family, so this is just part of that.
It's all part of the rock and roll. Yeah, you found your brotherhood.
Exactly. It took us all moving here,
yeah,
to the city to find the guys that were meant to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And here we are, you know?
You guys been recording at all? Any other new music other than what we've heard that's out?
We've got some demos in the works right now.
How do you demo?
Typically, you know, if I'll get an idea for a riff or something, and then you know, record it on the computer, send it over to Josh or something, or sometimes I'll show him something in person. So it's kind of every song is still different, you know, or it'll be something on my phone. I'll get an idea all of a sudden and just text him some shit, you know. So
I mean, we're doing the whole very, you know, Black Crowes thing, man, like the brothers, you know, it starts with the riff and the vocals and the melody, and then we pass it on to the rest of the guys. And I think probably a lot of bands are, old school rock was always like that, very simple, keep it, you know.
I would say Omar Vallejo is actually the fifth member of the band in some ways too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, because, you bring our producer in.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really great with helping us
flesh it out.
Yeah. Flesh it out, bounce ideas off of. And, he's really great with harmonies and guitar parts. Everything, just things that we would never even think about. He'll say, hey, try this. And most time it works, you know, so.
Which is good. I mean, that shows you it's good to work with other people. It's good to, not be so tie to your vision or what you're trying to put out, because when we bring more brains into it, and more visions and more ideas, then, you know, we're only there to make the best product possible, and that's what we're able to do with Omar. That's why we stayed with him.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah, it's a good dude too.
He's great, man. Great. He's family.
Solid dude, solid bro. All those guys are solid bros.
And he knows, like, he works with a lot of different people, a lot of different kind of bands, but he really loves rock and roll. So, like, you could see the passion for, you know, so it's really, really great that he locks in on that vibe. He's the real deal, you know.
He is the real deal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We all spent a week there one night together.
That's right.
A whole week? Should we?
The whole
That's
month.
What it seemed like. It was like a whole week one night. It was Amy Edwards' rock and roll extravaganza.
Oh,
like,
man.
Psychics were there and, like,
my kind of party.
Rock stars and us.
Charlatans.
And naked Charlatans. Jimi Hendrix in the corner playing bass. What?
Did Omar hang that painting I did in his studio?
The
Have Sex With Me one?
He's got a lot of communication. Weird shit in there, but
I don't know if I've seen that one.
I don't know. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of dirty paintings on his. There's like,
yeah, a, like a dog's.
There's a dog butt, and then, yeah, there's a personal butt, and then there's two naked guys on his.
Oh, two naked guys.
Yeah, I've seen that too. That was crazy.
Is there anything I'm missing, dudes? I'm gonna run down some facts about you guys. No, you got, man, some singles out: Addicted to Love, Lines, and Crazy. These are all new singles.
Yeah.
The next one that's gonna drop is called
Misery.
And that's going to drop on Sunday, January 12th.
That's right.
Day of the Alamo premiere. And people can find out all about it by going to blackheartsaintsmusic.com. They can catch you Friday, December 13th at Einstein's Pub. Saturday, December 14th at Panorama Music in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Friday, January 10th, Warehouse Live, Houston. And, of course, Saturday, January 25th at the Cobra Cast Birthdays Extravaganza at... Come and take it live, baby.
That's right.
Yeah. And shout out to ATX Vodka.
ATX Vodka, yeah, thank you very much for making my interviewing skills so sharp and insightful.
And perfect. I love
thank
it.
You, Bill.
Can we drink? Can we drink
some Bill guy? Yeah, let's have another drink.
Sweet, let's get
thank you guys for doing the show.
Thank you for having us.
Mark Sean and Josh Ross from the rock and roll band Black Heart Saints. Their latest single, Addicted to Love, available everywhere. They brought that ATX vodka, and I did have some drinks. We had some more afterwards. Always great catching up with those guys. Nice guys. Find them at blackheartsaintsmusic.com. They play everywhere. Get out there and see them. They were Austin Music Awards. They won Best Metal Band this year. So check them out, man. Rock and roll, blackheartsaintsmusic.com. And hey, while you're out there checking out the blackheartsaintsmusic.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you stream and download your podcast. Even if you're on Spotify listening to Blackheart Saints, you can jump over to How Did I Get Here, which is on Spotify. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you get the pods, we're there with a new show every Tuesday and every Friday for you. All right? Thanks so much for listening to the show. I want to thank Josh and Mark for bringing me a bottle of vodka, which is still in my freezer. Oh, Lord. All right, you guys. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Let's get down.